WTTO Claire.
Streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with a shift in America's stance on the Israel-Hamas war. Correspondent Cammy McCormick begins team coverage.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken will be back in the region tomorrow, and President Biden is suggesting a humanitarian pause in the fighting as hundreds of foreign passport holders and wounded Palestinians leave Gaza. Meanwhile, Israel's ground offensive continues. President Biden says he brokered a deal last week in which Prime Minister Netanyahu agreed to a temporary ceasefire in order to get two hostages out.
CBS's Tina Kraus is in Tel Aviv.
Hamas says another Israeli airstrike hit the densely populated Jabalia refugee camp in Gaza Wednesday, a day after Israeli bombs cratered a large swath of the same residential neighborhood. Hamas says nearly 200 Palestinians were killed and more than 100 are still missing under the rubble.
The University of Pennsylvania is taking action after a Jewish Student Services Center was vandalized and a swastika turned up on another building. CBS Philadelphia's Yuki Washington.
The school's president says she's forming a task force to address anti-Semitism. Penn also plans to offer more programs to make students aware of anti-Semitism and other forms of hate. And the school's Division of Public Safety will look at security for all religious life centers on campus.
Top donors have pulled back funding to the school, claiming it hasn't done enough to address anti-Semitism since the war began. In Washington, there's anger among Senate Republicans over the GOP's Tommy Tuberville. He's been stalling hundreds of senior military promotions for months to protest Pentagon policy that allows reimbursement for travel for abortions. Senator Dan Sullivan.
To say, oh, don't worry, this isn't impacting readiness, with all due respect to my colleague, that's just wrong.
Tuberville stood and objected to each nominee 61 times total over the course of 4 hours last night. Driver RAV4, Toyota, is recalling close to 2 million 2013 through 18 models because of a battery issue that could pose a risk of fire. Satisfaction for Texas fans after the Rangers beat the Diamondbacks to win their first World Series.
Finally, it was about time because they deserved it. They deserved it.
Texas whooped Arizona 5-0 in Game 5. Pitcher Max Scherzer.
That's what October's all about. You know, if you're going to win the whole thing, you got to play unbelievable for a whole month, and that's what we did. You name it. Pitching, offense, defense. You know, base running, you name it. We found a way to win.
Victory parades tomorrow in Arlington. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle. We're out there.
Johnson needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering whether to hear a lawsuit to overturn the state's school choice program. WisPolitics reports conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley says the high court should have rejected the lawsuit. She says it's a policy matter for lawmakers to consider and not a matter for the courts. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler joined Bradley's dissent. Interested parties have until the 14th to weigh in. Open enrollment in the health insurance marketplace is underway. Democratic state lawmakers are reintroducing bills they say will make health care in Wisconsin better and more affordable. One bill would expand Badger Care eligibility for some people up to 133% of the federal poverty level. Another bill would create a Badger Care public option to buy health coverage on the state exchange. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks get crushed by the Raptors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Raptors in Toronto, 130-111. Toronto shot 56% from the field, hit 15 three-point shots, and were 13 out of 14 from the foul line. What happened defensively to the Bucks? Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Defensively? I didn't think we did a good job as far as keeping the ball in front. You know, too many points in the paint as far as kick out threes.
The Bucks return to Milwaukee to host the New York Knicks Friday night. Tip-off time, 6:30. NFL, the Packers host the Rams Sunday, but L.A.'s quarterback Matthew Stafford, struggling with a thumb injury, Brett Rippon, could start at quarterback. Now, he's the nephew of quarterback Mark Rippon, who led Washington to a Super Bowl win in 1991. The Packers trying to break a four-game slump, wide receiver Christian Watson.
I just want to find a way to win. You know, I've never been okay with losing. I want to compete. I want to win. You just got to find a way to do it.
That's the Packers' Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high right around 40 this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 29. Tomorrow, partly cloudy to mostly sunny, high of 46. We'll be mostly cloudy again on Saturday with a high of 44. Sunday, our high 47. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now at 19.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. You're hearing Stevie Ray Vaughan caught in the crossfire, and if that's how you feel, then you are among kindred spirits here in this part of the country on this Thursday, November 2nd. Another beautiful day to welcome you here up north. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, by podcast, or by social media, nice to have you here on Lake Wissota, just outside of Chippewa Falls, where we unpack the news for a statewide audience every morning, and here's what's on tap. The economic news continues to be cautiously optimistic. Wages are still inching upward while prices aren't rising as quickly as they had been. And so against that backdrop, President Joe Biden came to the Upper Midwest to talk about how Bidenomics has been very good for rural parts of the country. We'll hear a little bit from the president's visit to Northfield, Minnesota, coming up. We'll visit with Joe Zepecki about some of the other political stories making news around Wisconsin this week. In our second hour, we have our weekly hometown health segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who will introduce us to a mom who's been raising a child with a rare neuro disease, and how her concern about health care and families has led for her to run for public office. And we'll talk to State Representative Francesca Hong with an update on the fall legislative session, some new proposals from Democratic legislators to improve family health, both physical and financial. We'll visit with Luke Mathers along the way. We'll get the forecast from weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vuchitsky. And you can be a part of it all, too, by ringing us up at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Don't be shy. We don't bite. I mean, it's only day four of working with Greg Bach, but he has not been known to bite anybody yet. So we'd love to hear from you. Greg is in Waukesha. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Pat. How are you today?
I'm good. You know, Thursdays. Thursdays are always that mix of near exhaustion and completely amped up from the, you know, from the days.
So, I always like the quote from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is Thursdays. I could never get my head around Thursdays.
It does sound about right. You know, most of the time you're like, okay, I can see the glide path to the weekend. Mm-hmm. But are you, as you're running for the finish line, are you going to run too fast and stumble over your feet and take a digger? You know, either way, Greg's there to take your calls down in Waukesha. I'm up here in Chippewa Falls. Speaking of those fine communities, let's review some temperatures at 6 a.m. It's 21 up here on the lake, 16 in Hayward. Wausau's coming in at 26 degrees. Green Bay, you're at 31. La Crosse, you're at 30 degrees. Wisconsin Rapids, 25 right now. Madison, 34. Park Falls, 16 degrees. Oshkosh, 31. And Waukesha, 32. So quite a range of temperatures around here. I'm guessing depends on cloud cover, since it appears to be a quiet day precipitation-wise. But again, details, full details about an hour from now with Jennifer.
But then forecast updates throughout the hour here across the Civic Media Radio Network. A reminder that the Up North News daily newsletter comes out about 5 o'clock every morning. And even as I say that, I say, you know what? I did not look to see what Christina Lurie has put up for us. So even now, I'm opening up my email. It's Native American Heritage Month. And so she lists some Native American museums and cultural centers in Wisconsin that you could be visiting. We also have the story I put together on what Senator Tammy Baldwin has been doing for years to tighten up the rules on secret stock purchases. It's something that was prompted by the closure of the Wausau paper mill in Brokaw many years ago, and she has finally won final approval by the Securities and Exchange Commission to make it a little tougher for vulture capitalists in hedge funds to do to others what they did to the Brokaw mill. So again, to get that, you can sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the banner on top of our homepage and catch it there. All right, let's unpack some of the news now at 6:10. The economic news just continues to get better, and there are some people who are doing their part to make sure that that string continues. The Federal Reserve yesterday left interest rates unchanged, taking a cautious stance on inflation as it retreats, but they still say it's not yet vanquished. Interest rates have been on hold in a range of 5.25% to 5.5% since July, up from near zero as recently as March of 2022. So that's a lot of improvement in a short time, which naturally gives way to inflation. Now the question is, have the efforts to tame inflation been successful enough that you can say the economy is coming in for a soft landing? Policymakers think that borrowing costs are now just high enough to achieve their goal of curbing rapid economic growth, and by cooling demand, they're hoping it'll prod companies to raise prices less quickly. Hiring is still quicker than before the pandemic. Wage gains have cooled, but they're still faster than they were before the pandemic. And as Americans win jobs and raises, they're continuing to open their wallets. Spending is still climbing faster than economists expected in September. The growth overall has been much faster than what most forecasters would have expected a year and a half into the Fed's campaign to cool it. I believe all of that is just, if I'm going to translate that for you, that's called a soft landing. And here's what's helping. A presidency and a Democratic-led Congress during the first 2 years of Joe Biden's term that was making investments in targeted parts of the American economy rather than just tax cuts for the very rich and hoping that it trickles down. So over the next couple of weeks, President Biden, cabinet members, and others are barnstorming the country to highlight what they're calling an Investing in Rural America event to talk about ways to bring new revenues to farms, the rural economies, businesses. The president was in Northfield, Minnesota, visiting a farm and talking about all the various ways that some of the programs over the first 2 years of his term have made investments in agricultural techniques, climate smart strategies, limiting soil disturbances, creating buffers to protect nearby waterways from pollutants. And yet, despite these wildly popular and beneficial programs, Republicans, as we've told you before, want to cut $50 billion in the next farm bill from conservation programs. The president talked about $1 billion in more than 100 loan and grant awards to upgrade infrastructure in rural communities. You know what? Let's hear in the president's own words. First off, he's going to tell us from this event in Minnesota how the way things used to be hasn't really been working in rural Wisconsin or rural America.
Over the past 40 years or so, we've had a practice in America, economic practice, called trickle-down economics, and it hit rural America especially hard. It hollowed out Main Street, telling farmers the only path to success was to get big or get out. Tax cuts for big corporations encouraged companies to grow bigger and bigger, move jobs and production overseas for cheaper labor, and undercut local small businesses. Meat-producing companies and the retail grocery chains consolidate, leaving farmers and ranchers with few choices about where to sell their products, reducing their bargaining power. Corporations that sell seed, fertilizer, and even farm equipment use their outsized market power to change farmers and charge them and ranchers unfair prices. You know, in part because of these conditions, over the past four decades, we lost over 400,000 farms in America. Now we're growing an economy from the middle out and the bottom up instead of the top down. Folks at Crescent have been calling my plan Bidenomics. Well, it's about investing in all of America, all America, including rural America. It's about making things in rural America again. And that's exactly what the historic legislation we passed has done, creating new and better markets and new income streams so that generations of rural Americans can begin to thrive again.
So there's the president in Minnesota explaining exactly the investments that have been needed that are overdue. And we've talked previously on this show about the need for farmers and producers to have more competition in the marketplace so that just a handful of companies aren't controlling prices as much as they had been or are currently. With more markets and more competition, in other words, more capitalism, that's good for everybody. That competition also helps drive down prices for consumers. But to do it took some people to show leadership, and that's what happened in 2021 and 2022 with rural America's investments and more that has been done by the last Congress. Not this one that seems to be unable to tie its own shoes. Let's check sports at 6:16. The Bucks are now down to 2-2 on the season after losing in Toronto 130-111. Joe Sopecki tells us not to read too much into things until about 30 games into the season, but I have seen fans starting to post their concerns. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin said, "Sometimes getting embarrassed is good because it forces you to focus on doing the right thing consistently." Greg, I am not aware that that was a corporate strategy. I hope is not embraced here at Civic Media, that if we just embarrass you, you'll get better.
That's what I was taught in Catholic grade school, yes. Catholic middle school, and consequently Catholic high school.
And
look at me now.
Look at us now, right up there in the C-suite, in the corner offices. So the Bucks have to get it together for their next game. It's Friday at home against the Knicks. And by the way, we had some problems yesterday with the Civic Media app routing programs, and I hope everything is set today. But if you think that day was bad, how about the guys running the Bally Sports streaming service? It was down again for a second consecutive Milwaukee Bucks game. The company had posted last night that they knew about it, but the same thing had happened on Monday's game. And the company had posted on Twitter yesterday, "We want to assure our viewers the issue is resolved," you know, until it wasn't. So good luck to them and to all of us who are running apps, because technology ain't nothing like it. The number 2 ranked Badger women's volleyball team was a winner at home last night against Purdue 3-1. That takes them to 21-1 on the season. Their next match is Saturday night, 7:00 at home against Illinois. And finally, in the World Series, if you wanted the Arizona Diamondback fans to suffer after they eliminated the Brewers in the playoffs, you got your wish. Needing a win to stay alive last night in Arizona, their pitcher Zach Gallen had a no-hitter going through 6 innings against the Texas Rangers. The crowd was wild, but neither team had scored yet, and that ended in the 7th when Gallen gave up 3 straight hits. The Rangers were on their way to a 5-0 victory to win the club's first ever World Series title. And so the Brewers now have one of the longest droughts in all of baseball without a World Series ring. We'll pause here, and when we come back, we'll cover some more of the news that's happening around the nation and around Wisconsin, wherever you're listening, across the state on this nice Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Why, Stevie wondered? Well, you're going to have to wait till today's history lesson and music break. That's coming up a little bit later on this hour on this Thursday morning. Packers, by the way, are at home against the Rams noon on Sunday. The WIAA High School Football Playoffs third round is tomorrow, and I believe we will have Jimmy Koska here yet again to tell us more about that. The Badger women's hockey team, top-ranked in the nation, back in action tomorrow at St. Thomas. And by the way, the Badger men's hockey team is now ranked fifth in the nation, and they are home against number 6 Michigan on Friday and Saturday. Senator Tammy Baldwin joined several other women senators on Wednesday in sending a public message to the new Speaker of the House, warning Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana that his long record of opposing LGBTQ rights, his long record of opposing women's health care rights, will not be welcomed in the U.S. Senate, where Democrats are in the majority. Johnson was previously an attorney for an anti-abortion legal organization that engineered the end of Roe v. Wade. He's been working to overturn FDA approval of mifepristone, has openly advocated and co-sponsored bills that would ban abortion nationwide and criminalize providers, including bans before many people even know they're pregnant. Johnson received an A-plus rating from one of the big anti-abortion rights groups that demands candidates support a nationwide abortion ban in order to win their support. So against that backdrop, Senator Baldwin and several other women called a press conference for yesterday where they made that very public warning to Mike Johnson that that might have helped get him elected. It might have helped make him a leader amongst the right-wing fringe in the House. But as House Speaker, where bills have to go through the Senate, that dog ain't going to hunt here.
We know that reproductive health care remains under attack, and just look at the new Speaker's record. He has a well-documented history of opposing gay marriage, calling them, quote, counterfeit legal arrangements, end quote, pushed by, quote, radical homosexual advocacy groups, close quote. He has a track record of bullying LGBTQ plus youth, introducing a bill to mimic Florida's Don't Say Gay law. And of course, Speaker Johnson has a laundry list of ways he has tried to oppose a woman's right to choose. I stand here today to say in no uncertain terms, every American deserves the freedom to make their own health care decisions without interference from politicians. And the American people overwhelmingly agree. They have said time and again that they don't want politicians butting in to their personal health care decisions. We're here today to make clear to Speaker Johnson that advancing any legislation that seeks to further restrict access to abortion will not see the light of day in the Senate. While I'm always committed to working with anyone to deliver for Wisconsin and our nation, I think it's equally important that we stand up for the rights and freedoms of all Americans.
That's Senator Tammy Baldwin, among many other women who spoke in that press conference yesterday. And that's just about the social issues, the culture war issues that right-wing Republicans have a tendency to bring up these days in Congress and the legislature. But there's the economic aspects of it as well. And I'm glad to see that one particular proposal this week is getting widespread attention and being essentially shot down, mocked, ridiculed, whatever you want to call it. And that has to do with predicating any aid to Israel on cutting funds for the Internal Revenue Service to go after tax cheats. The Congressional Budget Office put out a report on that proposal of deferring money from the IRS, not deferring, taking it and applying it again to anything else, just anything. If you take that away from tax enforcement, what it would do would cost the U.S. $26 billion in revenue. It would lead to a net deficit increase of $14 billion over the next decade. Because if you're hamstringing the IRS, it makes it easier for tax cheats to get away with evasion, increasing the burden on everyone else. And if you've heard me bring this up before, you're going to hear me bring it up again, because it's a real bugaboo, or bee in my bonnet. Greg, how many old man expressions have I got here? Bugaboo, bee in the bonnet.
I believe in you.
You know what really frosts my cake? You know,
what really grinds your gears?
Exactly. Is this proposal of let's take everything away from the IRS, the big bad IRS, when what you're taking away is their ability to go after the millionaires and the billionaires out there who aren't paying their fair share? The rest of us are. The rest of us are playing by the rules. It's those who don't play by the rules who get cracked down on. I can't tell you over the years how many of those commercials I've heard about, I owed the IRS this much. They were going to garnish my wages. They were going to take. Then pay your taxes. We all do. If you can't, you can work out financing arrangements. But you can't just run away from the problem, because like anything else, you run away from your bills, they catch up with you. We can debate all day tax policy. We can debate all day tax rates. In fact, we're going to put up a question on the Up North News social media feeds as early as today, asking, where does the middle class end? Where does it top out? And the reason we ask is because Republicans have flattened all the tax brackets to the point where somebody making about $400,000 is paying the exact same tax rate as somebody making something like $35,000. And so when they want to cut taxes and they say it's a middle class tax cut in that bracket, is $400,000 middle class? It doesn't seem like it to me. But we want to know, you know, where other folks think it is. You can certainly tell us as well, 844-967-2789. If you were going to do some kind of a tax cut or tax break, where would it top out? Where's the level of income where either there wouldn't be any tax cut or you would start to reduce it, you know, by so many percent as you go up the ladder? What constitutes that? I thought personally Democrats made a huge mistake in the early parts of the Obama presidency, when they said that, you know, that level is about $200,000. I would have said $200 million, because $200,000 is a whole lot of hometown white collar professionals, doctors, lawyers, you know, you name it. And those were a whole lot of people that said, hey, I am middle class. Now, granted, somebody making $35,000 would not necessarily agree with that, but $200,000 was probably not where to put the number. But I also wouldn't put it at $400,000. For tax relief either. But regardless, it's the people who are making much more than that that have been looking for ways to skimp, cheat, and they're not cheating the IRS, they're cheating all the rest of us. And so for Republicans to continue to say, well, this is going to lead to 87,000 agents knocking on the doors of middle-class families, no, it's not. Nobody believes that. And the statistics are already showing how the increased investment, helping the IRS catch up on the backlog, is bringing in the money that would take care of our needs, the needs that we are all paying for. We are all playing by the rules. And so they should too. Joseph Pecky's up next. You're up north.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. As civilian casualties mount, President Biden is calling for a pause in fighting in the Israel-Hamas war. CBS's Tina Kraus from Tel Aviv.
Israel says its ground forces are now at the gates of Gaza City, and both sides report fierce fighting. Hamas also claims seven of the more than 200 hostages it's holding were killed in Tuesday's bombing raid.
Fellow Republicans are expressing frustration over Senator Tommy Tuberville's blockade of almost 400 military officers. The GOP's Lindsey Graham.
No matter where you believe it or not, Senator Tuberville, this is doing great damage to our military.
Tuberville's protesting Pentagon policy on abortion travel funding. Texas wins its first World Series. Manager Bruce Bochy.
It's special. I'm not going to lie, it's special to come here in my first year, you know, with the team that was determined to play winning baseball and never won a championship.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An inmate died at the Waupun State Prison on Monday. That's the third death at Waupun in 4 months. The Dodge County Medical Examiner says autopsy reports won't be ready for a couple of months. The Waupun Prison has been in lockdown since March. The Journal Sentinel reports about 1,000 inmates have to stay in their cells around the clock. Families say they're concerned about health care at the prison. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler delivered the annual State of the Judiciary Address in Lake Geneva on Wednesday. The veteran conservative justice didn't spend much time addressing her clashes with the court's new liberal majority. Chief Ziegler instead focused on improving court security and mental health treatment options for offenders. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe
it. It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high right around 40 this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 29. Tomorrow, partly cloudy to mostly sunny, high of 46. We'll be mostly cloudy again on Saturday with a high of 44. Sunday, our high 47. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now at 19.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today.
93.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy?
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start.
Tell
your
a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Okay.
And now we're back on this Thursday morning with Joseph, as advertised. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Hello.
Good to have you along. Let's start with the thing that we, probably one of the bigger stories of the week, and that is the lawsuit by Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call. And using those obscure rule processes, I've talked about them. Melissa Baldoff talked about it yesterday from the standpoint of the governor's office.
I know her.
I know you do. And she knows her stuff. You know that? But the thing I want to tie it to, and I don't know that I've done it enough, is to tie it to, look, this is a rules process that did have a reason to exist. And much like confirming nominees, it's a process that has existed. It's just that since Evers got elected, Republicans have now abused these processes, kind of the same way they abused, you know, keeping Fred Prent on the board past his expired term. It's all political games, it seems.
Yeah, it's a sort of a emerging tyranny of the minority is how I'm thinking about it. Why might that be? Maybe it's because I'm reading a book called Tyranny of the Minority right now.
That could be, yeah.
But in all seriousness, norms and institutions and standards of practice and behaviors, they matter, right? And for a democracy to function, that doesn't come down to the conduct of the victor in an election. A democracy is defined in many ways by the consent of the losers in an election and the recognition by the losing side in an election that they will win an election someday too, right? And that they don't want things done to them that are maybe technically within the bounds of the rules, but make a mockery of the process of running a government. And so to try to explain to the ordinary American or Wisconsinite who's seen Schoolhouse Rock and how a bill becomes a law, where a legislature and both houses of it pass something and they send it to the governor and the governor signs it, then to try to explain why one single committee can say, actually, we don't like that one part of this big bill and we're not going to allow it to go forward, that doesn't make any sense. It's utilizing the system for political warfare, and there's just no place for that in a healthy democracy. Instead, we see another example of Republicans being just fine, undermining confidence in our democracy and ability to function. And that's disappointing.
It's a very easy thing to say in this day and age that, you know, government doesn't work and politics is broken. Unfortunately, it means that there are some players here that can then use that as an excuse to break things further and say, oh my gosh, you're right, we should tear this system down. Really the answer is, you know, what do they always say? What's the best answer for the problems with democracy? More democracy.
Yeah. And unfortunately, way too many Republicans, I'm not going to say all of them, but way too many Republicans in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years have told their voters, their constituents, government doesn't work, and then gotten elected and proven that to be the case. It's a ridiculous, never-ending cycle. There are things the government has to do. And the way that Republicans from Madison to Washington, D.C. pull these stunts that are just so transparent to anybody paying more than passing attention, whether it's denying raises for 35,000 hardworking Wisconsinites, whether it is trying to pass off cuts to the IRS as a pay for a package for Israel, when in fact it would explode the deficit by another $90 billion. People see right through this stuff, and Republican legislators are all too often saying, we don't care. We think this is what we can get away with.
That takes us to the Joint Finance Committee, which, again, most people, you say that, they tune out. They don't want the particulars of a state budget. But the nice thing about having civic media and having Up North News is that we can help folks understand what's taking place inside the Capitol and why it matters to them. And I know yesterday we played the audio clip from Representative Deb Andraca from Whitefish Bay and Joint Finance, but it's worth mentioning again because it gives this perfect insider view of the Capitol when she asked, in all earnestness, why are you indexing tax credits for private schools to inflation, but you won't index tax breaks for farmers to tuition? She asked, and as everybody knows who's seen or heard the video, 35 seconds of silence follows from the Republicans. And Joe, I don't know that there was a more honest moment in state government than Republicans sitting in silence, uncomfortably, unable to answer why they're looking out for voucher school parents, but they're not treating farmers the same way.
To quote Logan Roy from the HBO hit Succession, these are not serious people. And that is the takeaway. The Joint Finance Committee is supposed to be reserved for the most serious-minded legislators who know the state code and how to legislate and how to govern and take this stuff seriously. Listen, it's no secret. And in fact, this has been in the news. There's this new Mitt Romney book out, and he talks about how he was so surprised that when he got to the Senate and he wanted to do all this work, and he was told by another senator, out of the 100 people, there's about 20 senators that do all the work, and the other 80 are just here to get on TV. Okay, you could take that principle and pull it down to something like a state legislative body, where there's a lot of people who are there to be there and for show and don't do a lot of the work. The individuals from both parties on the Joint Finance Committee are supposed to be the cream of the crop, who know this stuff backwards and forwards, inside and out. And their inability to even BS an answer to that shows such a lack of seriousness and such a remove from actually being involved in writing the legislation. What are these people doing? How do they expect anyone to take them seriously? Is their staff writing it and they're so afraid of their staff? Or is leadership staff writing this stuff and they're so afraid of leadership that they can't even muster up the courage to say, that must have been a drafting error. We will get into that and we will get an answer for you. Thank you for bringing that to my attention, Representative Andraka. That's not hard to say.
Oh, but they couldn't. They couldn't because
astonishing.
They realized they'd been, you know, caught with their hand in the cookie jar here, because again, they know that by and large, they can get away with things like this, which brings me to the Medicaid expansion, which Democrats are introducing once again after more than a decade, to accept the federal expansion funds, strengthen Badger Care, cover more people, add a public option, cap insulin prices. This has all been introduced before. It's being introduced again to ask, in all seriousness, is 2024 the year that Democratic messaging finally breaks through, that enough Wisconsin voters say, why have you been wasting billions of dollars not expanding Medicaid coverage?
It very well might be. And a indicator I'm going to look to outside of Wisconsin first is what happens in the great state of Mississippi next week. On Tuesday, there is a gubernatorial election there, and the Democratic candidate, who is apparently a grandson of the late Elvis Presley, which I didn't put together until very recently, in a deep red state, is running very competitively against the Republican candidates, an open seat race for governor. And candidate Presley has made Medicaid expansion the centerpiece of his campaign. It is dramatically impacting rural hospitals that Mississippi, along with Wisconsin, has not accepted the Medicaid expansion. And so I think if that race is inside of 5 points, or if somehow Presley pulls the upset, you will see Democrats in all of the other, you know, 10 states that have not yet expanded Medicaid trying to learn from that and learn how to talk about this and put it at the forefront of what might be an unprecedented or virtually unprecedented series of legislative elections next year. Because if the map lines get redrawn, all 33 Senate seats and all 99 Assembly seats would be up. That is the type of mega campaign that cries out for simple messaging that is easy for people to understand. And there are a couple other issues, but there's not a lot of other issues where the divide is so great between what the people of Wisconsin want, which is Medicaid expansion, and the obstructionism by Republicans to prevent the state from doing that. So I would certainly put that, you know, in the options card of what we will see a lot of next year.
It's a very important issue for all of the reasons that you just outlined. But now that you've given that thorough answer, I have to make a confession. I follow politics closely. I pride myself on knowing what's going on even outside my borders. I'm over here Googling furiously, not realizing that, yes, the Democratic candidate for governor of Mississippi, his name is Brandon Presley. Mm-hmm. And that, yeah, Medicaid expansion is the big
thing. It's like the only thing he's talking about on the trail.
Yeah. Well, again, give him points for knowing what people are concerned about. And they are very concerned about their health care and you know, why Republicans don't seem to care. So good on him.
And give me points for knowing just this one time something Pat didn't know.
No, way more than that, but I am properly humbled here.
There's a couple other, by the way, let's just do this real quick. There's a couple other important elections next week. The Kentucky governorship is also up. Andy Beshear is an incumbent Democrat who is expected to win narrowly. And then in Virginia, their legislative seats are up. It's a big test of a sort of new Republican approach to messaging on abortion. Glenn Youngkin, a sort of Trump light winner of a gubernatorial election 3 years ago, is kind of staking his reputation on getting a trifecta. And so we're going to learn a lot more about the state of politics in America next week than we do from any single poll that spits out an approval number or a generic ballot question. There's going to be actual election results for us to interpret next week. And I'm looking forward to that.
Amen to that, that we're not just relying on national polls that tell us virtually nothing. Related to Medicaid and in terms of, you know, the kitchen table issues that people care about, all across rural Wisconsin, rural America, there has been this tendency to vote Republican for various reasons. But I really think the Biden administration has figured out that that is an area that you not only don't take for granted, but that you really toot your horn about your accomplishments. And that's what President Biden was doing yesterday in Minnesota. Is it something that you think can pay off, or, you know, as opposed to people who would say, you need to write off rural America?
I do think it's worth investing the time and energy to have that conversation. And you have to do it yourself if you're Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, because nobody else is going to do it for you. And the reality is that this trend in rural America, you know, from a very political insidery standpoint, what we call sort of non-college white, you know, white voters, this drift started in 2010, right after the first 2 years of President Obama. And it's now been 13 years, going on 14. And I think the question that is fair to ask of those rural voters who maybe had voted for Obama in 2008 and then felt like they didn't get what they were promised is, when you look at what the Republican Party has done since then, what has that gotten them? Republicans are the ones who are time after time never missing an opportunity to cut taxes for those at the very top, the types of big giant corporations and executives that are squeezing out these family farms, that are changing the way of life in these rural communities. It is Democrats and Democratic administrations who are trying to fight for the actual workers and small business owners who run these family farms and are the lifeblood of these communities, whether that's the bounce back grants that Tony Evers has distributed to small communities that support our agrarian regions of the state, or whether it is Joe Biden in the Farm Bill working on behalf of American farmers and trying to make it a level playing field for them to compete against China, for example. And so I think that one of the things, I know that one of the things I've learned about politics is nothing lasts forever. And we may well be coming to an inflection point where enough rural voters start to see that they've been sold a bill of goods by Republicans, that they're frustrated enough to say, the hell with it. I'm going to go the other way and see what happens.
Joe Zepecki, thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
Talk to you next week.
I wanted to save Joe in terms of asking about the Bucks last night and where things are going with the team, because again, he had said before, give it 30 games or so. So I don't know. Next week, I don't think I'll be able to resist. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north. Oh,
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Kristen Lyerly is rocking out with us as we start this Thursday, 6:51, here on Power 92, or whatever it is.
We're learning to fly this morning. Woo!
Yeah! On this day in 1999, the Foo Fighters released their third studio album, There Is Nothing Left to Lose. It was the first to feature the late drummer Taylor Hawkins and, of course, had this hit, Learn to Fly. Kristen Lyerly's here. Let's see, if I take this out, her title still says President of the Greg Bach Fan Club. All right, that hasn't changed after a week. Way to go.
It's the greatest ever.
So true.
Dr. Lyerly, where are you these days?
Good morning. I am in northern Minnesota.
Are you? Okay.
And they showed on the weather last night that at some point in the next couple of days, we will be experiencing a low of 4.
Four.
Ugh.
Four. Once they run out of degrees... That's usually when I start looking at, you know, beach brochures and things like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. All right. Well, let's not dwell on that. Well, actually, just long enough to say, on this day in 1889, North Dakota and South Dakota were admitted as the 39th and 40th states.
Do you know why? Do you know why it was two?
Yes. Go ahead and tell us.
For more representation.
Yes. I was about to go on my annual rant about how we let that happen, but Washington, D.C. is still sitting out there, and Puerto Rico is still sitting out there. And honest to goodness, folks, if Democrats get the trifecta again, they'd better not screw it up next time. They just better not.
There's a long laundry list.
Yep. All right, we got a whole lot of birthdays to go through, so I'm going to start by playing a little CCR here. Down on the corner, this is from their third studio album, of the year 1969. They released three studio albums in the year of 1969. This album, of course, was Willie and the Poor Boys. It also had Fortunate Son on it. Let's see, Keith Emerson. Keith Emerson, the keyboardist for Emerson, Lake & Palmer, was born this day in 1944. He passed away in 2016. Sad birthday for David Schwimmer. Ross from Friends turns 57 today with a broken heart.
So sad.
Greg, I'm going to have you bring that music down just a little bit here. Former Governor Scott Walker is 56. Nelly is 49.
That just feels...
Are you wearing your apple bottom jeans, Greg?
With the boots with the fur on it, too. Yeah.
Fur.
I thought it was a delayed reaction to Scott Walker's birthday. Like, did you not get your heckling in fast enough?
I thought he turned 13 this year.
Yeah, he should wish based on the language in his tweets. J.D. Souther is 78 today. Maxine Nightingale, remember the 70s tunes Right Back Where We Started From and Lead Me On? She is 71 today. K.D. Lang is 62. All right, Adele scored a number one hit on this day in 2015.
Hello from the other side. I must have called 1,000 times.
I am.
Dramatic interpretation by Greg.
Yes. Now interpretive dance from our Waukesha studios. Look, I'm not Adele's biggest critic. I'm not Adele's biggest fan. I just say, and there's a couple of songs I really like. This one, though, a little too much of the Tarzan yell in there.
I never expect her to
come
way.
Swinging through. And yeah. So the Texas Rangers won the World Series last night and broke a very long drought. But it was on this day 7 years ago that the Cubs won the World Series, breaking a drought that went back 108 years.
I feel like everybody was on board with that one.
No.
I mean, maybe not like a Cubs fan, but like people were paying attention. Whereas last night, like it popped into my inbox and I was like, okay. Yeah, and that was the end of it for me.
Oh, yeah. Because I mean, it was, again, 108 years of futility. And now if you're going to have an underdog, it gets to be Cleveland, because now it's 75 years since they last won the World Series in 1948. Cleveland's drought is the longest on the current list, but then number three on the list would be the Milwaukee Brewers / Seattle Pilots. 55 seasons now without a World Series.
We're due.
Yep.
Rally caps.
Yep. All right. We need something uplifting. Greg,
yeah.
Hit the button there that plays Share. There we go. Number one song this day in 1971.
I was born in the wagon of a traveling show. My mama used
I really
to
thought that this was like an autobiographical song for Cher when I was little.
Yeah.
Like this was like Wikipedia for me when I was little.
All right. Thanks to a swell of views from children who were home during the coronavirus pandemic, it was on this day in 2020 that Baby Shark overtook Despacito as the most viewed video in YouTube history, with a little over 7 billion views.
Thanks for not playing Baby Shark or Despacito.
No, neither one was coming.
Stick with this one.
Yep. President Reagan signed a bill creating the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday on this day in 1983. A couple of Stevie Wonder notes. He went to number one this day in 1974 with You Haven't Done Nothing, which was a dig on President Nixon. And then 11 years later, he hit number one in 1985 with Part-Time Lover, which we had played earlier. So he had number one hits stretching from 1963 to 74 to 85. Let's see. On this day in, not on this day on the, all the national calendars, we don't have a traffic reporter, Greg, do we? You don't like beat your chest and pretend you're in a helicopter or something like that?
Coming over here with the helicopter, weather happy guys. It's clear out. It's morning. It's dark.
I was gonna say where you are down there. It's like, yeah, 94 is a parking lot. What else do you need to know? Anyway, for those traffic reporters out there, this is National Broadcast Traffic Professionals Day. This is Day of the Dead and All Souls Day, Deviled Egg Day.
Yeah.
It's National Men Make Dinner Day. Which again, I'm just like, no, that's you don't.
That's every day at my house.
Yeah, you got to do that. Like, yeah, today is Crimes Against Journalists Awareness Day. It is Project Management Day. Here's to all the nerds. You know who you are. Be proud. And today is World Ballet Day. And I was trying to think of how my only exposure to ballet, I was going to say, came through Bugs Bunny cartoons or Tom and Jerry cartoons. But then I remembered, as I'm looking through, I don't think any of them were ballets. They were operas, symphonies, you know, piano recitals. But I don't know, you know, ballet maybe in the middle of one of the opera cartoons. I am an uncultured slob.
I've seen the Nutcracker 14 times, and I'm not even joking.
Well, you got to like it then.
Well, I took my niece every year.
That's wonderful. Kristen, where are you on ballets, operas, symphonies?
I always think of Baryshnikov and less about like the dancing. I think of the movie White Knights.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And yeah, I know, right? But I think of the, I know I was probably a teenager at the time, but I think of like the political and social landscape and how he escaped from Russia. And that also made a big impression on teenage me.
That's Kristen Lyerly. She's going to have Hometown Health for us in our second hour on this Thursday on Up North News Radio. Stick around.
Tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.